Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Digital Marketing Agency Builders Podcast. In this show, we discuss the rapidly advancing digital marketing industry and how to grow a profitable marketing agency with some of the best minds in the space. Since 2015, Tyler Narducci has been building and scaling his own digital agency, helping businesses grow and market their services and products through online advertising. Now, he's helping other startup digital agencies launch and scale rapidly to six figures with the Done For You Agency Program. If you are interested in taking your agency to the next level and skip all those painful mistakes most have to make by learning directly from those killing it in the digital agency space, then apply now at dfy-agency-program.com/scale. That's dfy-agency-program.com/scale. There will be a clickable link in the podcast show notes below. Now, let's dive into today's episode.
Welcome, everybody, to the next episode of the Digital Marketing Agency Builders Podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Narducci, and today I have with me Allison Caffrey. Allison is a small business operations specialist, best-selling author, and the founder of Operations Agency. She's commonly referred to as the wolf among her clients because she gets shit done. Allison is best known for helping streamline the back-end ops for a multitude of brands and using her Operations Simplified framework to unleash the power of small teams. She and the team at Operations Agency are determined to help small businesses thrive profitably, serve more clients, and create high-performing teams. Allison, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thanks, Tyler. I'm super excited to be here.
Me too. I have a ton of questions for you, and I just know that this episode is going to be just stocked full of value. So I'm excited to dive right in. So why don't you first just kind of tell us, so Operations is... that is what you guys do and what you're all about. And I think it's super cool. And I wanted to have you on the show because I don't think it's talked about enough. Operations isn't the sexiest part of our business, right? But it is so critical and so vital. So how did you end up really finding, I guess, your niche helping business owners with their operations?
Yeah. And it's interesting, like operations isn't sexy, but I think it's woven into all of the sexiest things about running a business and having a lot of the freedoms that we all really get in business to do, right? We start with this really incredible skill set and we can help this amazing subset of our market. And then all of a sudden we like build this cage around ourselves and then we look up and we're like, oh my goodness, I'm stuck in this thing that now controls every facet of my being, right? And I can't really understand how to get out of this. And I think it's unfortunate that a lot of business owners feel this way. And I remember when I was operations manager, we were a PR agency, digital marketing, speaking kind of firm. And I remember when I asked my then boss that, you know, I was like, hey, listen, I'd like to transition out of the business. We have this really cool new opportunity. My husband and I were moving. And he was like, could you give me a 90-day transition period? And I was like, of course. But then I remember in the car on the way home, I was like, how confronting must this be for this business owner to so rely on someone in their team that they need a 90-day transition? And at the time I was operations manager, we'd grown that business in the 2 years I was there from pretty much no revenue to a seven-figure business. And in that time, there was a lot of dependencies internally. And so what I started thinking through was I was like, how can I make this business independent of me or any one person, right? And so I started thinking about operations. I was like, how can we create transparency so that we feel like anybody could come and pick up the baton and start running with it internally? And that's when I fell in love with things. People were happier. The business had a whole new lifeline of possibility and trajectory to grow. The founder felt more fulfilled and was able to spend more time doing the things that he loved. And then about 30 days after I left that business, I had a bunch of people in line that were like, could you just like do for me what you did for this guy? And so that's how Operations Agency was born. And that's where I really was like, this is my thing. This is how I can serve.
I love that. There's nothing more jarring as a business owner than realizing that like if you lose one of your resources, the whole tower could collapse because either you are not aware of how they're doing what they're doing, or they haven't, you know, created some type of SOP document and or formula for how they're doing. And, you know, God forbid, you know, they leave, or I mean, even if something unfortunate surprising happens to them and they're out of the business for whatever reason, you know, scrambling to try and figure that out can destroy a business. So it is absolutely critical to everything we do. And I don't think, especially with our listeners, it's super valuable because a lot of our listeners are in the newer, earlier stages of their agency. We have plenty of listeners that are down the road and still need this episode, but
oh, yeah.
A lot of them in the beginning, just operations, SOP documents, you know, building out systems is just not high on their priority list. They're thinking, you know, lead gen, more sales and everything. So, mm-hmm. you know, no matter where you're at, if you're missing this piece, your red light should be blinking. So I totally agree with that.
Yeah, I appreciate that context.
Yeah, absolutely. You wrote a book called The Sabbatical Method. So I wanted to ask you, why did you write the book? And then I'm also curious, because we're going to have to go into, after that, we're going to have to go into what the sabbatical method is, because I'll be honest with you, when I hear the word sabbatical, I think I'm probably with most people in that the word sabbatical to me means I'm taking a break. It's like a vacation where you unplug and get away from everything. So why did you write the book? And then the follow-up to that is, what is the sabbatical method?
Yeah, two wonderful questions. And I think that to expand on what you've just mentioned, I think I usually encounter one of two things when I talk about just the idea of the sabbatical method, right? Folks either think this is some luxurious access to lots of resources, Parisian 6-month leave, where you get to just like go and eat baguettes and sit in the park, right? So that's option number one. Option number two is you're voluntold to take off from your business. You've hit some kind of wall. You have to take kind of a forced sabbatical. And we have basically these two ends of the spectrum. One is super beneficial and practiced by some of the most high performing CEOs of Fortune 50 companies, right? Going out on sabbatical. And I mean, Bill Gates does his, you know, infamous 2-week think week every year. And then the other one is the one that honestly us entrepreneurs are a little bit more familiar with, the folks who've had burnout and the folks who really can't be high performing inside of their business because they've just burnt the candle at both ends for too long, right? And so what really I tried to do in writing the book is practice a methodology of implementing rest into the way that the business operates. And what I mean by rest is leveraging, you know, in any kind of high performing plan, there is a portion of the plan that includes strategic rest, right? If you're going to summit Everest, if you're even going to just practice, you know, your skills at running a marathon or a 5K or anything like that, right? There are days and times planned out inside of your training plan where your muscles literally rebuild stronger for the next phase of the training plan. And so I think this is something that entrepreneurs fundamentally miss as they are running their business, is after big pushes or features, you know, in their software or new services launched in their agency or any of those things, they forget to take a pause and rebuild their systems so that next time they go and do this, it's actually a little bit easier and we can kind of build on the endurance. So that's the kind of fundamental practice behind, okay, what is the sabbatical method? And why I wrote it is because I wanted to practice my own method. I don't know how many times I've heard an entrepreneur come to me and say, oh, I can't focus on this business growth activity because I'm so tethered to these things over here. There's too many fires. And so I said, okay, why don't I practice a small portion of my methodology and focus my attention on writing a book for 6 months and then come back and say, how did my time away from my business grow? I've had my team members elevate to new leadership positions. We've had more clarity and the solutions that we provide for our, you know, for our clients more than ever before. We have new mechanisms of reporting, all created while I was focusing on this really exciting new passion project of mine. So I think it's really interesting once we start to consider, like, if we can actually repetitively and incrementally remove ourselves from the day-to-day operations and use the strategic rest in a way that actually is 1% better over time, we can actually access a lot of really cool results operationally and create a business and a life that we actually are really excited about.
I love it. So kind of the sabbatical method is kind of introducing strategic rest and, you know, greater and greater amounts to the point so that it gets to the point that you can actually take a sabbatical and your business yes. continues on successfully without you, without crashing and burning.
Yeah, is most that, definitely.
Okay. I love it. Very, very cool. So go ahead. Can you tell us more about the sabbatical method? Like what, I guess, how would you start the sabbatical method? Is it taking a look at your business now and figuring out what repetitive things are going on so we can start creating SOP documents? Or how would one person start in this method?
Yeah, great question also. I think one of the big things that I find owners miss, especially as they start to kind of go down the path of operationalizing things in their business, is they start to create the optimized version of their ops before they create what's actually happening right now. I think James Clear has that kind of famous quote in Atomic Habits that says standardize before you optimize. And I think as, you know, owners and perfectionists and folks with lots of industry expertise, we try to kind of fancify the way that we're doing things first before we start to address, okay, how could I just really quickly trade my time right now, right, for what I'm doing, the tasks that I'm doing? And so a really helpful thing that I find is kind of the beginning of the sabbatical method is to really create some of those boundaries around your calendar and take a look at where your time is actually being spent. So let's just say, for example, and I know this sounds like an elegant solution, but what would it need to look like for you to shut the computer at 5 o'clock? What would it need to look like for you to schedule in like 2 outdoor 10-minute walks each day, right? To just take a second, unplug, and then return to your desk with a little bit more clarity, a little bit more focus on, okay, what are the really important things that are going to be the most impactful for me to tackle for the rest of the day? My opinion is that without these hard resets, and I used to be terrible at this. I used to never even take a lunch. I would just work right through. And then at 2:30-ish, I'd be like, oh my gosh, I'm starving and I can't imagine tackling any more work right now. And then I would eat a big meal and come back at 4 o'clock and just be really sluggish until like 8. And that was just my life. And then when I had my kids, I remember being like, this is definitely going to up-level the way that I choose to spend my time because they suddenly needed a lot more of me. And so I think creating opportunities in our life where we need to kind of be pulled away from the business, especially if it means spending time with your family, working on personal relationships, working on your personal health. I have literally so many folks who I've worked with personally who've told me that they've neglected either personal relationships, their actual physical health, all in service of this thing that's always on fire, right? Their business, their clients' needs, all of those things. And so even if you just take a minute to say, how am I spending my time? How can I create boundaries that actually serve me as a whole human being and not just my business? And where can I actually block out some time in my calendar and make that 1% better over time? So if you decided to take 10 minutes, you know, 2 10-minute walks during the day, how can I increase those to 20-minute walks within the next month or two, right? Like, how does that usually work? I think even starting to build the muscle of walking away from things, getting refreshed, and then coming back is going to absolutely be hugely beneficial. From there, we can decide, okay, what is the most impactful? So that's where I start to say, okay, let's start recording our screen, right? So that's like the second really big solid habit that you can build in terms of the sabbatical method. We live in the digital age. We can super easily communicate, you know, results, outcomes, all those things to folks all the way across the world. And we absolutely need to be recording our screen all the time in terms of, you know, documenting what we're doing at a baseline.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mean, when you say recording your screen, do you mean like recording videos to teach staff members on how to take on certain tasks? Or do you mean just like record your screen overall so that you can see the things that you're doing more repetitively and figure out a process for them?
So both. So the latter. So if you're recording your screen day to day, if you're not a calendaring person, which some folks aren't, right? Like I, to find the source of truth of how I'm spending my time, I look at my calendar and I'll say, okay, I spent my time doing this. I'm very intentional about the way I block my time. And so I'll take a look and I'll say, all right, this is kind of how I've spent my days. Here's what I might need to adjust and all those things. But then sometimes when I get into an audit with an agency owner, they'll say, oh, well, I don't know, because like I just have calls on my calendar. And so I can't trade off my calls right now because it's delivering client strategy, it's closing new business, it's all the really important things that we can't offload, right? But then there's nothing recorded in between. So if we are still fact-finding, we can totally record our screen and say, okay, it looks like what we did was we prepared a couple of proposals here in the morning. We did a little bit of web dev and whatever else in the afternoons. And so we can like actually start to group some of these things and say, okay, if sending proposals is super administrative, which let's just totally face it, it is, then we can create a process based on what we're already doing. It might not be perfect, but at least it's delegatable, right? At least we can start to create the habit of, okay, this is how I do this now. Let's get it off of my plate. So the second can totally serve the first as well. We can start to take these videos and give them to our team.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. I'm definitely doing the first, not yet on to the second. But I feel like I've always been a little bit good with this. Like I never, I agree with you. If I try to just work nonstop all the way through the day, like at 2 p.m., you hit this like wall, this crash, and it just doesn't. It doesn't work out well. I've always split my day into two pieces. So the morning, I always am like the most efficient and productive in the mornings. Like right when I wake up, like I will, you know, have my meditation, my coffee, my breakfast, and then I'll have like 2 to 3 hours of deep work where I just feel I get so much done in that time. And then I have like my midday break where now we're going to go to the gym. We're going to come home and eat lunch and we're going to walk the dog. And then after the dog is walked, then we're going to go into our second chunk of deep work for the day. And then I'm refreshed. You know, I've eaten, I've worked out, I've got my walk, like you even said, and I'm able to then do a lot more in those two deep work chunks than I think I really would have combining them. And just kind of going all through, because that burnout is real. Like that mental just break helps so much for that second segment of deep work.
Mm-hmm. And it's perspective changing, right? Because then if you're tired, if your brain isn't kind of functioning at full capacity and you're like, oh, I am just going to default to checking my email, opening up my Slack, answering whatever else and kind of being reactive to our day. And that's where I think the cage starts to lock in on us, where we feel like we're kind of subject to the way our business is pulling us in every which direction. In reality, I think that these strategic rest points can not only show us, well, what breaks when I step away, but it can also allow us to step away, connect with what's really important in our personal lives, and then say, how can I serve from that place? How can I serve and show up in my business the way that actually can serve, you know, my personal life, me as an entire human being? I think those folks who kind of master that, or at least understand that it's a muscle that's just continually built over time, that they actually show up and can serve and impact really positively, I think, in their clients. Businesses.
Definitely. So guys, definitely go and get The Sabbatical Method by Allison Caffrey so you can read even more about this. And we'll talk more about this as the episode goes on. But I do want to give you guys something that may not be in the book. So Allison, can you tell us maybe an inspiring story or something that didn't make the editing cut?
Okay, yeah, I will. So I am a mom of two little boys. And, you know, I really wanted this book to be about strategic rest for all types of entrepreneurs and not just mompreneurs. So I left out a small story about when I became a mom. And when I was in the hospital with my firstborn son, we had just gone through birth and I have this lovely photo of me and him. My husband had taken it. I was like smiling. And then the next moment, he had fallen asleep kind of on my chest and I opened up my email and I was answering client messages and Slack messages from my team. And I kind of wore it originally as a badge of honor. I was like, oh, I have such freedom that I can do whatever I feel like. And I can be back at work moments after just having a baby, right? I felt like it kind of played into my personality and my kind of tenacity. But in the back of my mind, actually, once I started reconciling with that experience, I was like, I feel like a bad mom. I'm starting off this relationship, literally picking up my phone and diverting my attention to my business versus my family. And I always say that being a parent just kind of ups the stakes. And I think that there are so many different things in life that up the stakes, right? If you're training for something important or up-leveling your physical health or becoming a better leader in other capacities of your life, whether that's community service or public service or whatever, parenting is one of those things. It ups the stakes. It demands your time and, you know, your spirit and everything so much that it almost makes your intentionality behind you approach how you approach other areas of your life a little bit more formal. And I think that creating these times to separate and connect with why, right? Connect with building a better future for your family, connect with building a better community for, you know, your friends and your colleagues and those types of things. It's absolutely going to be the driver behind a lot of longevity, right? Because at the end of the day, whether you're building a business to exit or you're building a business for longevity, how you operate it is a fundamental piece for its value.
Yeah, that story is really impactful. Actually, it probably should have made the cut. That's
I have
really
more books in me, Tyler. It'll make another cut.
I hope so. That's pretty good, because I think it's like a symptom of like peak U.S. capitalism that we've reached, where a new mother is answering emails and wearing it as a badge of honor, because our society is so built us to think that that's something to be proud of. And that's something like me running around my last cruise vacation with my phone, with like the high speed internet package, answering Slack while I'm laying at the pool, and also feeling proud of that as well. That's as close as I can relate. Obviously I haven't given birth to a child, but that is like kind of my closest thing that I can relate, and like being proud of the time. And then also being like my partner's like, what are you doing? You couldn't leave it in the room. You know what I mean? right. So like, I think sometimes we do have to step back and say, we need these forced, you call them strategic rest points along the way. How can your book, The Sabbatical Method, generally help a struggling agency owner?
Yeah. So if you as an agency owner are in a position where you've got all this industry expertise and you're just kind of stuck with how to transfer that knowledge to a team that can actually make an impact, right? The way that you're making for your clients. And this is a wonderful practice to begin developing, right? To really start to say, can my business function without me? Because I think a lot of the times, especially where we're reactive, right? If a team member leaves, or if we are, forced to, create an opportunity to, work with a new contractor because we close a new deal and we have to source somebody, right? And they're asking us, okay, well, what do we do? Then it takes all of your time, right? To either do it yourself or train somebody to do it. And so building this muscle really helps us prepare, for the future growth of our agency. And I think a lot of agency owners, they begin their agency because they're really fantastic at doing some really incredible things in the digital marketing space, right? I mean, I love working with agency owners because a lot of the skills I see are so impactful, and they're made better by the industry expertise. But we can actually leave our blueprint on our business and allow that industry expertise to inform solid decisions from our team. Once we can kind of build this muscle, right? We can say, hey, listen, this is how I do this, or this is the outcome that I am expecting. And you can allow folks to come in with their creativity and really just create a more collaborative work environment. I think that a lot of agency owners, again, just struggle with this because it's a service, right? Your brand is on everything. Your personality is on everything. It's your name in the marketplace. So I would encourage agency owners to leverage this to not only build the muscle, but also to kind of use it as a forcing function to address some of the perfectionism that we have inside of our agency. A lot of owners I've worked with have this, and they struggle with it quite a bit. And they're like, well, how do I know it's going to be amazing unless I do it? And the fortunate and unfortunate thing is that, there are really important things that you can do, but a lot of the things that agency owners are doing, running their business, preparing proposals and, doing a lot of the administrative work that it takes to keep an agency really, really afloat and streamlined, that can easily be delegated, to somebody.
Definitely. And it can completely, suffocate a newer agency owner. I know so many agency owners that, like you said, they're really good at what they do. And so they start off as a freelancer, in many cases doing Facebook ads or Google ads, and they're great at it, or a copywriter, or, a designer, some type of creative skill that they're really good at delivering that value. And they deliver that really, really well. And so they have a hard time passing that off to anyone in their team because they, they want to do it themselves because they feel that they're the best at it, right? So that's a big challenge. And then also just the fact that if you're good at Facebook ads or Google ads or a good copywriter, it does not make you a good business owner. And they're two very different skills. Yes. Running a business and knowing how to maintain a business and knowing how to provide a service are completely different skills. And it's rare that you just have both of them, right? So a lot of agency owners start with the skill, the high value skill, and then have to learn in real time the other skill of how to run, maintain, and scale a profitable business, which is entirely separate. So I see a lot of agency owners struggling to bridge that gap. Like, I can do this really, really well, but when it comes to taxes and going and making sure my retainers are all paid and getting my clients to, you know, purchase higher levels of service, upselling, when it comes to selling, that's a huge thing, right? They may be a great Facebook ads person, but when it comes to actually selling their own services, they're, you know, horrible, and they have to learn that skill as well. So identifying, just understanding that running an agency has many, many skills that are needed to make the whole puzzle work, instead of just the actual service delivery skill, is like step one, right? And then and then learning how to do all those things in real time, like a lot of freelancers do, but then easily being able to say, okay, I can bring in people to offload this to, who are in all likelihood better than me at that thing that they're doing. And it's going to take it off of my shoulders. It's going to give me more time to actually do the things that I love, whether that's still being in the fulfillment side of the business or, focusing on driving the business forward, looking for new business, which most agency owners tend to go that route, right? Like, once you finally let go of the fulfillment and let, you know, your skilled team do it, then you can actually say, okay, what do we need to do to drive this agency forward? What do we need to do to get more clients? How do we make our small clients bigger clients, and all of those things? But if you're stuck in those, you know, doing everything, wearing all the hats, generating the leads, fulfilling for the clients, selling your own deals, and doing it all without any processes or SOP docs or anything, then you're in a place that, you know, like I said earlier, the red light should be blinking. You got to pick up the sabbatical method. So why do you think, Allison, why do you think systems or systemizing your business is really the key to growing it for agencies?
Ooh, that's a great question. I think if we start to consider, a business and what operations really are, right? It's a way of being, right? And a way of doing. And if fundamentally we can change the way that we behave inside of the business and build really healthy habits, that trickles out into the confidence that exists as you're marketing your business, as you're selling your services, as you're fulfilling on client accounts. You know with absolute certainty and clarity that you have a really solid foundation behind the scenes. You show up differently to things, right? You show up differently to the way that you market your business and the way that you can. I know so
and
many
sales calls.
Yes, absolutely. I know so many agency owners where they have these wonderful ad strategies or SEO strategies. And I'm like, okay, great. Let's talk about the marketing efforts in your business. And they're like, what? And I'm like, oh, okay. So you have these groundbreaking SEO strategies, but you have not yet deployed that to grow your very own business. It's the cobbler's kids don't have shoes situation, right? And so I yes. think operationally, right, if we can create a really solid foundation and some of that really solid way of being and performing behind the scenes, right, we have really healthy habits, then we can start to show up to areas of growth in our business really confidently.
I love the cobbler's line because I've always wanted a phrase to explain this, but you see it all the time. Digital marketing agencies that struggle to market themselves, but excel at marketing their clients.
Yes. It's incredible.
It's this weird, really weird phenomenon. And like a lot of people are like, well, if a marketing agency can't market themselves, then they must not be good at marketing their clients. And on the surface, that sounds right, but it's actually false. I've seen mm-hmm. so many times where the agency owner is able to do so well for their clients, but they struggle to market their own business. And I think it comes down to some type of psychological aspect and where their own mind is positioned and their vantage point. And I'm not a psychologist, so I'm not going to try and figure out what that is. But there's some type of psychology there that makes it more challenging to market yourself than it is to market others. And oftentimes we need that assistance in mm-hmm. all types of places, whether it's marketing. And I love, love, love what you said about showing up differently. When your business is running smoothly, when you're getting great results for your clients, you're able to then go forward with that confidence, present yourselves, you know, in front of leads, whether that's on sales calls, whether you're giving a presentation, whether you're at a networking event, whatever it is, if you have that just, you know, confidence within your being, you are going to naturally attract clients left and right. They're going to see it. They're going to smell it. It's going to show in your content that you put out and everything. And you're going to naturally draw in clients. It builds up that momentum and getting everything going. And it doesn't sound right. Like it sounds a little woo-woo, like, oh, if you just have confidence, you'll get so much further. But I swear, blind confidence gets people farther in many cases than true talent. It's wild. It's wild. If you just act like you really know what you got going on, people will open doors for you left and right, left and right. So get that confidence from the actual results that you're getting. Get those results that from systems, and then you will further build the momentum to continue to grow your business. What do you think, Allison, are some key systems that most entrepreneurs ignore?
Ooh, onboarding is probably the number one thing. I see so many folks just bombing their enrollment calls because they know that if they close a new deal, they have to do every single thing behind the scenes to onboard that person once they close, and every single thing to actually fulfill on that project once they close. And so if we start to consider, okay, what are the fundamentals of our fulfillment? Where can we split out the administrative details? A lot of that is in onboarding. A lot of that is in project maintenance. A lot of that is in communication, right? Start to consider how we can create some throughput in the administrative functions of fulfillment. I like to start there because we can shave dollars off of leads all day long, but if we can keep clients for longer and shorten the length of our projects, the watermark on those is going to be so impactful. So begin there. Begin with onboarding, begin with how we set up projects, begin with how we communicate with clients. Those administrative functions, I think a lot of owners miss, especially agency owners as they're getting started, right? Because those are just the little things between big pushes inside of projects that tend to get A, overlooked, and B, come up last minute when you're like in the shower. And then all of a sudden you were like, oh crap, I forgot to send that email. Right. And then that is what starts to make you feel like a reaction to your day.
Yeah. I couldn't agree with you more on the onboarding. I've always said that onboarding is literally the most critical part of the entire agency client relationship. No matter how you slice it, it is that first onboarding call that you have with them. It's critical in terms of, you know, I guess functionality. Like you have to get access to their ad account. You need to get access to their brand assets, right? So like actual, but also you're making a huge impression here. They just spent a lot of money to be working with you. And now it is your job to not only get the things that you need, but also make them feel really good about the decision that they made, feel really confident in moving forward with you. And you need to make them feel like they made the right decision, because when people make big buying decisions and they spent a whole lot of money, they need to be reassured that they made the right decision, because there's a lot of competition out there. And if they chose you, they probably chose you over one or two other people, and you need to make sure that they don't regret that decision. And so creating a really good, solid, smooth onboarding process where they see, oh, you have your stuff down. You know exactly what to ask me. This is very smooth. And you know, all you did was just get, you know, some fundamental things that you need to do your job, but you stayed in control of the call. They saw how, you know, laid out and clear your process was. And now they feel great moving forward with you. And now you've set yourself up for a long-term healthy client relationship. Now you absolutely have to deliver, obviously, but we're assuming that you're going to be delivering well, if you know, have a good onboarding process, then you're going to keep them happy for a long term. And, you know, like you said, lifetime value of clients can increase your overall revenue way easier than adding more clients, because it's much harder to get a new client than it is to keep an existing or grow an existing client in terms of revenue for the agency.
Yeah. And I mean, at the end of the day, right, it's a relationship, right? You take someone out or you meet them and you're really giving them a solid snapshot of how life with you moving forward is going to be, right? Are you going to keep your promises? Are you going to show up on time? Are we doing what we say we're going to do? Are we delivering results and making sure that we're touching base at a consistent rate, right? Do you feel like a priority, right? And that's the relationship we're beginning to build in onboarding. I also think that vision casting in onboarding is very overlooked, but super impactful, right?
So tell us about it.
You hired me for this specific thing, but guess what? We have this really cool process that includes these other four things. And when we're done here, I promise you that you will be so ready for this next piece that we're just going to jump right into it. And so vision casting and onboarding, again, very overlooked, but it shows that you not only have process, because let's face it, processes don't need to just live in SOPs, right? You have a process for how you deliver. You have a process for how you enroll, right? If you can show folks that you're structured enough, you've done this enough times, and that you've delivered results for people like them, process exists at the level of pretty much every stage of your business.
I couldn't agree more. And you know what? I'll bring in one more real life example of how a process can benefit your agency outside of just clients. So hiring. When you are hiring contractors or employees and you have a smooth interview process and you have a smooth intro to your business, intro to the role process, you will win that client, or you will win that employee or contractor. I see this all the time. I bring in new sales members on my team, and onboarding a new sales rep for your agency is a big task, because not only do you have to educate them about everything that you do, how you do it, your pricing, your fast action deals, everything that you got going on, but you also need to explain to them what that does for the clients, who the clients are, what their industry is about, like everything. You have to educate them it's a ton of education work, right? To get them into a place where they can easily sell for you. So if that process is not down pat, you're not going to create the confidence in that sales rep that they're going to be able to sell well for you, and you're going to lose them. You're not going to get them on your team. So I'm, happy to say I generally get the sales reps. They want to hop on my agency because we have a really smooth process, and I explain the opportunity, I explain what we do, how we do it for our clients. And, I hear back very quickly feedback all the time that, they're interviewing for two or three other agencies and it's just chaos. Like they don't know how to explain their value prop. They don't know how to explain, what the goals for the reps are in month one, in month two, all that kind of stuff. So this kind of stuff, systemizing your processes in your agency, whether it is for client onboarding or new contractors or partnerships, it's going to enable you to grow in every area. And if you're doing, you're flying by, what is it? Flying by the seat of your pants? What is that?
Yeah.
What is that saying? Is it flying by the seat of your pants?
By the seat of your pants, yeah.
Okay, all right. I do sound like 80 years old right now with that saying, but like if you're just guessing along the way, then you're going to lose the contractor. You're going to possibly lose the client. You're not going to be, building any momentum. And that's what this is all about. Systems produce momentum. Momentum then leads to growth. And if you don't have it, then it can hurt you in so many, many ways. How can someone integrate the sabbatical method into their agency within a 90-day period?
Yeah. So I think, again, just building on repeatable habits, right? So if we start to first and foremost schedule in some of those strategic rest periods, right, at whatever clip you think is appropriate for you, again, 2 10-minute walks is usually pretty helpful. Second thing is really just building on the habit of recording your screen. And really getting an internal knowledge base built for your team. This really just the kind of mission statement there is operational transparency, right? We want a place where folks can come and get their, questions answered at a really solid clip. Then we want to start to take a look at consistency, right? So like how consistently are we bringing new leads into the business? How consistently and at what, percentages are we closing? How often are we keeping contracts? How long do those people, stay with us? Really over a 90-day period, I love the sabbatical method because it's kind of like a hard reset and a lifestyle shift all in one, where if you feel like you're overdue to create systems, which I know a lot of service providers do, they can really take a 90-day reset and start to take a look at, okay, what are the habits of my business? How does my business operate right now? Again, remember, standardize before we optimize, create a pathway for how that needs to look, and then start to get, again, 1% better over time. So that's the lifestyle play here, right? So I think if you're in the camp where you need a hard reset. I think a 90-day period or one quarter of really taking a look at what are our goals, what are the processes that need to help us get there, who are the people that might need to serve us, and what are the habits that the business has, you'll be off to the races. I think this is something that, just like anything, how do I put it? Anything worth doing is usually pretty simple, right? Like, I think anything that you're going to do about improving your health, anything that you're going to be doing about improving your relationships, improving your business, usually the tactics aren't these new shiny hacks or these really cutting edge strategies. It's usually simple tactics just repeated over a really long period of time. So if you are in a position where you're like, oh, I don't know if I want to go in this direction or if I want to go in this direction, just consider that the answers to a lot of the issues around your schedule or feeling reactive to your business, it might just mean a little bit more discipline, right? It might just mean, okay, listen, I want to make sure that I implement these really simple things that could perhaps help me get a better perspective on some of the larger problems that I have inside of growing my agency.
I love it. I love it. And I have a few more questions I'm going to squeeze in here because yeah. I think it's very valuable. So the first one would be, what tools? We've talked about a lot of different things that they should be doing or agency owners could be doing to help systemize. But do you have any favorite tools, screen recording tools or a software that helps you with SOP docs? Or do you just recommend like Google Docs and, you know, Loom? That's what I've seen used a lot. So, but I didn't know, is there any tools that you specifically recommend?
Yes. Agency owners that I've worked with in the past hate this answer, but I say use the technology that you're actually going to use. There is no one piece of tech that's going to kind of soften the blow of really being committed and being consistent with how you're approaching this. So that's number one. Number two is I love Loom. 100%. I think Loom as a screen recording tool, it comes right into your Chrome extension. It's super, super simple. And then I put everything in Google Docs. And then what we can do is once we build out our internal knowledge base in Google Docs, we can audition pieces of technology to fit the needs of the way our business already operates. I know that so many folks want to rush into a project management tool or rush into a knowledge base system or rush into a training platform that's going to help them onboard people a little bit faster. But then when they have it, they don't have the content to actually fill it out. So not only are they not getting their return on investment for whatever platform they're investing in, it also still seems disjointed to the end user, no matter how shiny and beautiful it actually is.
Yep. I love it. Okay. And my second question may be a little bit more complex, but okay. So let's say that you're an agency owner that is doing things yourself, right? You haven't yet documented the process, and maybe you do it a little bit differently each time. And you know that this needs to be systemized. It needs to have a process, and I need to remove myself from it, right? So should you go through the process and write it down and get it clear and then hire someone to come in and then follow that? Or should you look for that person, explain to them, this is what I'm doing and the end product, and I'm looking for you to come in here and build a better process for this. So what comes first? Should you write the process and then bring someone in to follow that word step by step, or should you bring somebody in to create that process for you by giving them what you need as the result?
Yeah. So write the process first. There's pretty much two brains in how I view operations, right? There's operations creation and there's operations management, right? A lot of folks need operations managers. They need people to manage specific outcomes or follow specific processes. And I think one of the biggest mistakes that we make is not crystallizing at least the basic functions of the outcomes that we want, i.e. the process, right? Whiteboarding that out first and then expecting that someone's not only going to be able to manage a process, but also create it, right? Like kind of building the plane while you're flying it. And so I think even at the baseline, if we want to create some standards, right? Let's just say, for example, we're an SEO agency and we have standards around the way that we produce content, right? Around blogs and all those things, whether or not, AI or a person is doing these writings, we can kind of have some standards of excellence, some standards of how we operate and how we deliver things to clients that don't need to be a formal process, right? But we're in the right direction of being able to spot check and make sure that the work is really quality. So that's a really specific example of how you can start to leverage things that SOPs might be able to create in terms of clarity between the team, knowledge transfer. Right, here are some of the things I look for. Really, really helpful. I think even if you can just dictate out loud what exactly you're doing, what you're thinking through, what micro decisions you're making as you're recording your screen, someone can take that information and say, hey, why did you only ask this question at this point? Shouldn't this come earlier? And that's where we start to optimize, right? So the process needs to be written. It needs to be ran a handful of times, and then there can be an optimization factor between you and your teammate, creating a better way moving forward.
I'm glad that you brought that clarity, because I think a lot of people, especially in the agency industry, do it backwards. They hire someone and say, this is the end result, create the process and make it work, basically. And then they, and oftentimes can set that person up for failure because they don't necessarily know how to get to the goal that you want to get to. What Allison is saying is create the process, even if it's rickety, even if it needs work, let them follow that process and then bring their expertise to then go ahead and optimize that process and make it better. But there needs to be at least a rickety ladder before we can build the beautiful stairs. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Love it. Love it. Okay. Last question. This is something I ask everyone at the end of all of my episodes. What would be your number one piece of advice for an agency owner that is just starting out?
My number one piece of advice is to consider that even though we have big dreams of growing our agency, that it's actually more effective to become intentional about how we hunt our reality. I was given this advice from a, I think it was former Navy SEAL trainer. And he said, don't chase your dreams, hunt your reality. And I think that a lot of us are super reactive and we feel like it's all in favor of these dreams, these big dreams that we have. And this is just the nature of the beast. It's just the nature of running a business and the nature of owning your own company. And my opinion is that one of the biggest things you can do is understand that you hold all of the power, not only in your own life, but in your own business. And it's up to you to make the conscious decision to be a hunter and not a chaser, right? You need to be in the position to create opportunities for yourself to actually systematically achieve the outcomes that you want in your life and not feel like you're constantly kind of at the whim of something else, right? Whether that's the person who needs to say yes on the sales call or the, you know, marketing initiative that you're working on that's supposed to bring you more leads, right? Like, this is your responsibility. And, you know, we can outsource certain aspects of it as we collaborate with a team. But at the end of the day, it all comes down to whether or not you're a hunter or a chaser.
Hunt your reality. Don't chase your dreams. Allison, I love it. And as I thought, this was a fantastic episode with a ton of knowledge and value. So guys, if you are listening, and I mean, if you heard me say that, then you are, go and get Allison's book, The Sabbatical Method. And where can they get it? Is it on Amazon? Is it on your website? Yeah.
It's on Amazon. If you search The Sabbatical Method, it should be the first one to come up.
Boom. Guys, go get the book, Operations. They don't get talked about enough, which is why I want to dedicate an entire episode to operations, but they are critical to being able to grow your agency in every way. So Allison, again, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Tyler. I had a lot of fun.
That's going to be it for today's episode. If you're ready to take your agency to the next level and have your leads, your team, and your sales all done for you, then apply now at dfy-agency-program.com/scale. That's dfy-agency-program.com/scale. There will be a clickable link in the podcast show notes below. See you in the next episode of the Digital Marketing Agency Builders Podcast.